Monday, October 13th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Romans chapter 10, looking at verses 14 through 21, with part 2 of last week's message titled, The Mystery of the Israel of God.
Text is telling us we're living in the day of fulfillment. That's the main point. You live in the day of grace and mercy. You live in the day when the gospel door has been opened to every nation, even them. And that mystery is playing out in surprising ways. In this great master plan, his decrees, his ways are totally unsearchable. Look at how perfect the plan of salvation. Every last one of his people, Jew and Gentile, will be saved. That's what he's saying.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
The attitude of the Gentiles toward unbelieving Jews, right? Think of what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 11. From the Jews five times, I've never received anything like this, but think about this. From the Jews five times, I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. All from the Jews persecuting him. 1 Thessalonians, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they did not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Okay. The issue is, Jews rejected Christ. They would not receive his righteousness. The Gentiles actually received it. But do you see the hatred that arose between the groups? It was bad. Gentiles, we're the ones who've attained this. They have not. How dare they persecute us? We have the Messiah. We haven't rejected him. We're not the dogs. They're the dogs. We have baptism. They're stuck in circumcision. They've rejected the gospel and turned from it. But we have the true gospel. We have the right gospel. They're stuck in types and shadows. It's Hebrews. Their worship is corrupted. Ours is true. Ours is in spirit. What is to be our attitude toward people like that? Now, Paul's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of why the hardening happened, lest you become arrogant in the way you treat them. This is the sense of this. This is what he's driving home right there. In other words, if you understand what the Lord's doing, you'll never act like that. You'll never act like that. When the Reformation happened, which really kind of parallels some of this, there had been so much abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. We're so disconnected from some of that. It was really bad. You can just read Luther on the stuff that he saw, the priests, the sexual immorality, all kinds of abuse doctrinally of the people. When the gospel was recovered, people fled into that freedom. I mean, the abuse was so bad, they ran into it. Finally, it's like the gates, the prison were open, and they ran out of there like a stampede. What was the danger in that? You can just read Luther. He described it, the spirit that developed among many of what he called the enthusiasts or the seditious. They're trained now in revolt as infiltrators, crude, factitious, rebellious spirits, messengers of the devil, rabble preachers. He says, I'm not even sure what they believe. I'm not even sure what they believe. Rome was labeled everywhere by Protestants as a false church. I mean, you have the Belgic articles on this. And you can see the strength and the emphasis of what they were reacting against at the time of the Reformation. Well, what can happen? Something really ugly. Take it closer. URCs start. You know, what was the danger? Well, we reacted against the slippery slope of the denial of Scripture. And a new church forms. And this stuff hit close to home for many of you. There was bad blood, right? I've seen it in almost every community where this happens. It happened in Linden. We've gotten back to the true church. We've gotten back to the true church. What is the attitude toward those stuck in compromise? Disgust. These aren't little things. There were gospel issues at stake. There was truth at stake. At times, divisions have to happen. In all of these circumstances, the Jews, the Roman Catholics, Christian Reformed, just go through the label of all the challenges that have been there. What develops in people running out the gate? Pride. Here's what Paul says. Imagine the shock of this. Have you not thought God hardened them for this? Let that set in for a minute. Have you not thought God hardened them to bring this about? That's what he's saying here about the Jews. That means that what we receive comes and came by the grace of God that opened the door for us to receive it. I think in some ways this stuff still happens today, in a sense that God creates new opportunities because of the hardness of people's hearts, right? And he does the same thing. This is not a one-time phenomenon. Certainly hardening judgments can come on groups. Certainly hardening judgments can come on groups who compromise the word of God. The last thing that should produce in those who've been delivered is a hard, cold, uncaring, conceited spirit. That's what he's saying. If you once had your house built on a slope, you knew that from an engineer that, listen, there's a whole bunch of you got houses here on the slope, and I'm telling you guys right now, when the rain comes, all your homes are going to slide down the mountain. What if all your neighbors won't hear, and you hear, and you move your family out to a safe house? And you know that one day the rain's coming and all those homes are going to slide down the mountain. What kind of person are you if you said, I don't care? I don't care. Shame on them for not listening. The attitude completely misunderstands the grace of God and the sovereignty of God. And that's Paul's concern. Remember he said in verse 20, don't be haughty, but fear. And further, don't boast against the branches. What Paul was concerned about was Gentiles would lose sight of the mission here. And all of that is to say, that's why you have to appreciate the master plan. That's why you have to appreciate the mystery that he's speaking of here. What is the mystery? Well, a mystery is not something like a novel that we open up and have to piece together. The mystery is something that we would never know unless God, by revelation, had not enlightened our eyes to understand it. And that's what this is. That's why this passage is very helpful for all these kind of scenarios. All those statements seem to indicate Israel's final rejection of Christ, and that the Gentiles thought it was over. And if not clarified, would think those Jews are just going to get their desserts. And Paul says, you need to understand something in verse 25. A partial hardening. Notice that. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He says, look, Gentiles, there's a reason you're here. God is saying, I blinded them in part for you, but don't you dare write them off. Right? Remember his heart at the beginning of chapter 9? My heart yearns for my countrymen. I long for them. I love them. Look back at them. Remember what Paul said. There's a whole remnant right now coming in according to the election of grace, he said in Romans 11. But the mystery is important to understand. Unbelieving Israel was hardened. God's purpose was to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles, that's why we're here. Gentiles here, and a great number of Gentiles have come into the kingdom. The Jews have become jealous. They have hardened hearts. But Paul said, through that jealousy, the chosen remnant, according to the election of grace, will come back as you magnify the ministry, as you preach Christ. That's why Paul said, I magnify the preaching of Jesus. I preach Christ to the nations because you know what that's going to result in, the salvation of some of them as God uses that to bring them back. So now he emphasizes this, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so here comes the conclusion to the matter. So think what this means. Some like to say that the Jews living at the end of the world, we will see a mass conversion of them. I think you have to look carefully at what he's saying here. It goes like this. Blindness in part. A partial hardening has happened to them, to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And in this way, in this manner, so this way, all Israel will be saved. Paul just said, I don't want you ignorant about the mystery. He's not adding something new here. He's already explained it, the whole chapter. God's hardened the Jews. Right now, there's a remnant coming in. The Gentiles have been joined to the olive tree, the one lump, through Gentile inclusion. Right now, that means God is actually working through the gospel ministry that many of the Jews are being brought back to life from the dead. And if we didn't get it, he restates it again in verse 30. Notice verse 30. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. Now. See? And so notice what he says. For God has consigned them all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. So in this way, every last one of the true Israel will be saved. That's what he's saying. Jew and Gentile together as a people, fulfilling the mystery. That mystery of their hardening, our inclusion, their jealousy, their being brought back in, together forming one people as the Israel of God. That's happening. It's not once all the Gentiles come in, then Israel will be saved. It means in this manner, Israel will be saved. This is the way Israel's being saved. And you're part of that. His whole emphasis is in the now. This is what's happening. And so what he does is cite Isaiah 59. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will banish away ungodliness from Jacob. And is this not a familiar verse to you? And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's Jeremiah. That's the new covenant. That's Hebrews 8 quoted. Jew and Gentile together. So he just said that when the great arrival of Christ comes on the scene of history, that happened, he'll deliver his people Israel, all of them. And you're included in that, and he has hardened them to bring you in, and now he's using you to bring them back. And we together form the Israel of God. We live in the most glorious day of fulfillment. I'm sure that the great question of many still resides in the hearts of many is that Christians today is, won't there be a mass turning of Israel? Well, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The text is telling us we're living in the day of fulfillment. That's the main point. You live in the day of grace and mercy. You live in the day when the gospel door has been opened to every nation, even them. And that mystery is playing out in surprising ways. So where does that leave us in this ending, this section of Romans? Well, Paul breaks into the most beautiful doxology here in this book. You'll notice it. It's just a wonderful doxology. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Who's given a gift to him that he may be repaid? Oh, the ocean depths that cannot be plummeted of God's wisdom and knowledge in this great master plan. His decrees, his ways are totally unsearchable. Look at how perfect the plan of salvation. Every last one of his people, Jew and Gentile, will be saved. That's what he's saying. Not one of them lost. That comes right out of the mouth of Jesus. It's a beautiful promise of the gospel. It's as if Paul's lost in the exaltation of Christ. He started this whole section. This has got to be, I'm blanking tonight, but there's a beginning here and an end. And notice, I have continual grief in my heart for my countrymen according to the flesh. And he's weeping in anguish that they would be cut off. And now, after standing in the Lord's counsel and understanding the mystery, he concludes tonight saying, through this glorious plan of redemption to the ends of the earth, God is being faithful and God is saving, and it overwhelms me. His word has never failed. I see how committed God is to save all his people, Jew and Gentile together. Who's known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? It's from Isaiah 25. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I'll praise your name. You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Job 36, behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed for him his way? Who can say you have done wrong? Remember to extol his work. Remember to extol his work, of which men have sung. And Paul concludes tonight, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. He is the source of our life. Now, that's the transition to the doxology after celebrating God's master plan. But I just come back to the challenge of this text tonight. How we look at lost people. Again, since it's on my head, being out yesterday in Escondido, I talked with numerous people. All of them say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one I talked to, all of them are churchless. We live in a churchless age. They all hate the institution of the church. And God loves his church. And we have to help people to understand the glorious gospel, that they might come into the church and enjoy the fellowship of the saints and receive his word together as one people. These people are alone. These people are empty. These people are sad. Misery has filled their life. And I think the great challenge of this text, whether it's Jew, whether it's anyone, in light of the circumstances I raised, shouldn't it produce in us a real heart for the lost? There's been a lot of ugliness in the Reformed world of arrogance and pride, of people who, I've been guilty, who bash others and judge others and look down upon others. Woe to us if we're known for that. Judgment without mercy. How does that fit the gospel? See? How does that fit the gospel? Paul wants to have us think about that and to remember our purpose, to remember the plan. God is saving. We care for them. We care for all people. May that kind of spirit that filled the apostle fill us as it leads us to praise, as we pray for the nations to come in of all peoples. And when he brings them in on that day, and we stand and we look over in glory, all the multitude no man can number, I got a feeling we're going to sing something very similar to this. Let's thank God tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies to us. Johnny come lately Gentiles who don't deserve any of this. When we see departure, when we see hardening on people, when we see the things that they do that turn away from you, may we remember the very gospel that we confess. May we never compromise our principles. May we stand strong on the truth and tell the truth. May we never forget the aim. We want to see all peoples delivered as we were. And the evidence of that, O Lord, will be in our humility. Give us this, O Father, to recognize, as we saw this morning with the rich young ruler, such pride, to realize we have been brought in and carried into the kingdom as infants, all by grace. Bless us in that perspective, especially with the lost, and fulfill your plan. And as we see people come in, may we sing this doxology for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope to see you back next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.